Chapter 12. The Palazzo. Venice, February 28th. Dear Mr. Greenleaf, I hope you don't mind me writing to you about your son, but it seems that I was one of the last people who saw him. That was in Rome on February 2nd at the Inglaterra Hotel. As you know, this was only 2 or 3 days after the death of Freddie Miles. Dickie was upset and nervous. He said that he was going to Palermo as soon as the police finished questioning him. I felt he seemed very unhappy and that he might try to do something violent. He also said that he didn't want to see his friend, Marge Sherwood, again. What I am trying to say is that I feel Richard may have killed himself because he has not been found. This is a very sad message to send to you, but I am feeling more and more uncomfortable about this idea and thought I should let you know. Tom. Mongibello, March 3rd. Dear Tom, thanks for your letter. I am going to Rome tomorrow to meet Dickie's father, who is flying over. I just wanted to say that I don't agree at all that Dickie may have killed himself. Dickie just wasn't like that. I believe he might have been murdered in Naples, or he's hiding somewhere because he just doesn't want to see people. But I'm glad you don't think the checks were forged. Dickie has changed so much since November, he could easily have changed his handwriting, too. Nice to know your address, finally. Thanks for your letter, your advice, and the invitations to Venice. Marge. P.S. I didn't tell you my good news. I have a publisher interested in my Mongibello book. Now, I just have to finish it.
She had decided she wanted to be friends with him, despite the things she had said in her letter to Dickie about him, Tom supposed. Dickie's disappearance was creating a lot of excitement in the Italian newspapers. There were photographs that Marge must have given them, of Dickie sitting on the beach alone in Mongibello, and some of him with Marge. The newspapers called her the girlfriend of both Richard Greenleaf and Freddie Miles. Tom was happy to be described as a good friend of Mr. Greenleaf, who had helped the police a lot. Mr. Ripley, they went on to write, a wealthy American, now lives in a palazzo next to the Piazza San Marco in Venice. Tom had not thought of his place as a palace before. He had rented a beautiful old 2-story house with an entrance on the Grand Canal that could only be approached by gondola. There was a very large key for this door and another smaller one for the normal back door which led off the street. Tom had filled the insides with beautiful old furniture and expensive pictures. He had employed a maid, Anna, and her husband, Ugo, to clean and cook for him. Because of the newspapers, Tom was well known in Venice now and had his choice of cocktail parties. He had made wealthy new friends, including a nice Englishman called Peter Smith Kingsley and a real countess, the very sophisticated Countess Titi della Latta Cacciaguera. Everyone knew the name Tom Ripley and that he had been friends with Dickie Greenleaf. They all wanted to know him. Tom was always quiet and shy. He wanted to be seen as a gentle young man who was not used to being around lots of important people. The main emotion he showed them was worry about what had happened to Dickie. On April 4th, he got a telephone call from Marge. She was at the train station in Venice.
"I'll come and pick you up," Tom said happily. "Is Dickie's father with you?"
No, he's in Rome. I'm alone. You don't have to pick me up. I've only got one bag, and I know where you live. It's next to Della Salute, isn't it?
Well, okay. Have you had lunch?
No.
Good. He asked Anna to make lunch for two, and told her she and Ugo could have the afternoon off. Then, he made some cocktails. When he heard Marge knock on the door, he went and opened it.
Marge, good to see you. Come in.
He took the bag from her hand.
How are you, Tom? She said. Wow, is this all yours?
She looked around her with wide eyes.
I rented it very cheaply, Tom said. Come and have a drink. Tell me what's new. You've been talking to the police in Rome. And Mr. Greenleaf?
Yes, and he's very upset, understandably, Marge said, sitting down on a sofa. He's talking to all Dickie's friends and to the police. He keeps saying that they would do a much better job in America. But they found out that Dickie cashed over $1,000 of traveler's checks before he left Palermo. So he must have gone off somewhere with it, like Greece or Africa. He wouldn't have killed himself after doing that.
No, Tom agreed. He started asking her lots of questions, like what she had heard about the murder of Freddie Miles. She said that the doorman of Dickie's apartment had told the police that Freddie looked angry, like they had argued. Freddie had asked him if Dickie was living alone. Tom could tell that Marge was not suspicious about it at all. At that moment, Anna came in and announced lunch. Tom noticed her eyes go wide as she saw Marge. She recognized her from the newspapers.
So, what happened?
Said Marge after Anna had left. She was looking around at the apartment again.
Did your aunt die and leave you all her money?
No, I just made a decision that I was going to enjoy what I have while it lasts, Tom replied happily. I had $2,000 left, so I decided to spend it well and have a good time. The money should last until the summer. I feel I deserve it anyway, because I spent most of the winter traveling around and sleeping in a car. I know that you thought I was with Dickie, but I saw about as much of him as you did.
He made them two more cocktails. He could see she was a bit drunk now. During lunch, she asked him lots of questions about Dickie. Then she said,
And how do you think he felt about me? Tell me honestly. I can take it.
I think he was worried about you, Tom said carefully. It was the usual thing. He was terrified of marriage.
But I never asked him to marry me,
Marge cried.
I know, but...
Tom did not want to say it, but he made himself continue.
I just don't think he liked the responsibility of you caring so much about him. I don't think he wanted a serious relationship with you.
That told her everything and nothing. Marge stared at him for a moment. Then she sat up and said,
Well, that's all water under the bridge now. I just want to know where Dickie has gone. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Tom.
At that moment, she knocked over her cocktail, sending it all over the table. Tom ran to the kitchen.
It's fine, he said, wiping the cocktail up.
But he suddenly hated her. He remembered seeing her underclothes hanging over a chair on her terrace in Mongibello. They would be hanging over his chairs tonight if he invited her to stay here. But he looked up and gave her a huge smile.
I hope that you'll want to stay here tonight. I have two rooms upstairs, and you're welcome to one of them.
She smiled back at him.
Thanks a lot. All right. I will.